Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Steven Sadak.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thank you for tuning in this week into what is, sadly, the final episode of Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza 3.
This is a recent movie. What's going on in here?
What is going on in here? It's a movie that is so bad, we decided, because there's no way this show's going to be on the air 10 years from now, we have to talk about it in some capacity. Grown Ups 2, 2013, directed by Dennis Dugan. Let's get into it.
Well, it's kind of like rushing it to the home video market, which it should have. This should have been a direct to DVD sequel.
You know, starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Which, to start the argument off right away, Tooth Fairy 2, better movie than Grown Ups 2. Just putting it out there.
I mean, I would agree with that. But this shouldn't be a direct to DVD movie. This is a huge box office smash.
I mean, that's what's disgusting about it. Well, that's hugely successful.
Well, what's weird is that 15 years ago, this would have been a huge movie, and it might have been funny. But, like, now, nobody gives a shit.
Like, that's,
nobody in it gives a shit.
You're right, Chris. And I think that's what we should, like, kind of start this out with. By the way, I saw this last night, and, I mean, I'm going sans notes. Like, this movie is so burned into my head because of how offensively terrible it is. But, I mean, let's get this out of the way. Like, everyone on this podcast right now is a big fan of stuff that every main cast member of this movie has done.
Sure.
Adam Sandler, David Spade, Kevin James, and Chris Rock. They're all back.
I will say Kevin James.
Yeah,
I don't really have
he's got a couple of good stand-ups.
The stand-up is really good. Sweat the Small Stuff
is very, very funny.
He's just kind of the new hot face for these movies. It's like, it should be, it's kind of the weird, like, Chris Farley void, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
that's, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah,
well, Farley's dead, and we need a fat guy.
Come on, fat guy.
And we don't want to bring Rob Schneider back.
I think there may have been a falling out somewhere, because how do they do two Grown Ups movies with all these SNL alums, and Rob Schneider's nowhere to be found in either of them?
No, he's in the first one.
Who was he in the first one?
Rob Schneider.
He's the other guy. There's a fifth member of the gang who married the old hippie woman.
Oh my God, you're right. Wait, why isn't he in this movie?
They don't tell you.
That's right.
IMDb.
Old Stinky. Where's Stinky? Or whatever the fuck is
Stinky?
Might as well be. That's right. I remember him kissing the old hippie now. That's right.
He drowned. Let's not talk about
that. He jumped up that 35-foot drop or whatever the fuck they try to accomplish in this movie.
Or maybe he's just like Macaulay Culkin and My Girl. He just gets stung by a bee and just fucking fritzes out.
Man, Rob Schneider getting attacked by a swarm of bees? That's what I want to see.
You know, it should be him getting lost in the woods for like two hours and then him dying. Like, it's like Into the Wild, but with Rob Schneider.
He dies of exposure?
Yeah. Grown Ups 2: Exposure? Exposure?
It's exposure and bees. It's sort of like a Sharknado type of combination, like pneumonia and then snakes come out.
Exposure to bees.
And David Spade, again, like recent David Spade, no, like I haven't seen a second of Rules of Engagement that's still on the air somehow. But I mean, Tommy Boy, PCU, as we said to each other last night, Eric, Black Sheep is a million times better than this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So he's been fun. And again, by the way, aside from Kevin James, who only auditioned for the show and didn't get it, all three of them on Saturday Night Live were fantastic.
It was the bad boys. They were the bad boys of the bad boy era with, again, Chris Farley dead in the ground.
Right.
You know, like, that's what this movie is. It's kind of like, now they're all grown up with Kevin James. And they've lost any kind of engine or drive to make anyone laugh. They don't give a fuck.
And there's a sense of reunion even in just, like, the minor like, Colin Quinn shows up, John Lovitz shows up.
I mean, that is the one thing that I think is cool about this movie, is that you have those people from that era. You've got Maya Rudolph, Colin Quinn, who Colin Quinn may be crossed over with Sandler and those guys when he was a writer, but yeah. I don't think when he was doing Update, obviously.
I did a spit take when I saw Ellen Cleghorn. I was like, she's where'd you dig her out of?
Ellen Cleghorn, Tim Meadows, all the young guys, too. Sandberg, yeah. Forte, Bobby Moynihan.
What is it, like Sherry
Paul
O'Terry?
Britton. Sherry O'Terry's in there?
What, the guy who directed MacGruber?
Jorma Taccone, yeah. And then the other guy from Lonely Island. Like, they're all there, and I think that is... That's a really awesome thing for Sandler to be like, all right, you know, why not? Let's make it a big Saturday Night Live party. Bring the young guys. That's cool, too. Who cares?
But don't let them say anything.
Yeah, do not let them be funny.
Your elders are speaking.
They just got to, you know, put Bobby Moynihan's ass up on the window or whatever the fuck happens.
Who's the guy that's got, like, cum on his mouth? That's a weird shot.
Oh, eats bird shit, you mean?
It's bird shit? I thought it was, not semen, I thought it was shampoo or whatever.
No,
he goes
bird shit, and he licks it. That's Taron Killam, who's, you know, I guess sort of poised to be the biggest actor on the show next season. He's married to Colby Smulders from Avengers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Paul Britton was in this, too. Right?
Yeah, Paul Britton, the little guy who did, like, he did James Franco on Weekend Update. He had, like, one season and got fired. But I thought he was funny on that. So, yeah, I mean, that to me is cool. It's the only positive thing I'll say about this movie.
I have not seen the first movie. I'll raise my hand.
And neither have I.
I saw it in theaters.
Drunk.
In case you're wondering, Chris Cavan did the old creaky hand when he said that.
So he was kind of drunk. You were creaky hand drunk.
No, I mean, I kind of remember that it was a movie.
I mean, yeah, all right, so I'll take the fall on this one. Yeah, I mean, I saw this in the theater, and it was an air conditioning movie kind of afternoon. And that movie at least has a story to it. Their old fucking basketball coach dies, and they all go to the summer camp where they went every summer, and they have the funeral, and then it's like Colin Quinn and Norm MacDonald and some other people are like the townies or whatever, and they're like basketball rivals. And I mean, it's a bad movie. It's nowhere near as bad as this, and there's an actual like plot and, you know, things that kick the story off and acts.
Is Norm actually in that movie? I thought he got like cut out or something.
No, Norm's in it. I think he's got like maybe one or two lines. Like they go to like a public pool or something and Norm's there.
I think it's the same thing with the John Lovitz thing in this movie. You don't get to be funny. We're being the funny ones today.
John Lovitz is still the funniest part of this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Though.
But they didn't want him to have any more time because he would so clearly
steal
the
show.
Shit
oh,
out
yeah.
Of him. Yeah.
Like, why can't he be somebody's snooty boss at, yep. you know, one of the. Like, Chris Rock works for the cable company in this movie. Why can't John Lovitz be a rival cable company guy or whatever? Like, don't make him just this weird janitor for two scenes.
Yeah, his character is completely useless, but I think his character is probably the funniest in the movie just because John Lovitz is actually, I don't know. Funny?
He's
doing something?
Yeah.
Else?
Well, because he's perverted and he owns his perversion. Like, he's just like, I'm a scumbag and I'm just going to be a scumbag for two scenes. Whereas everybody else in this is like, we're going to be the most terrible people you'd ever want to meet in your fucking life. And then you have to kind of love us at the end.
Because it's really just Adam Sandler. Yeah. And it's not, there's no character they're inhabiting here.
No, it's just all of them walk like... The fucking pair of exercise shorts and t-shirt that Adam Sandler wears in this movie, I'm sure Adam Sandler just owns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's David Spade's trucker hat. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. That trucker hat's got a fucking chin strap on it so it doesn't reveal what's beneath.
I said this when we went and saw it last night. I'm pretty certain David Spade is wearing a wig in that movie.
Yeah.
I think he's wearing a wig. I think he probably has been actually balding since Tommy Boy. And that's not like... A joke that they make at the end of Tommy Boy.
Well, that's what I don't like about this movie is that occasionally they will, and this movie underlines to me what's good, what's really good about Funny People, is that that's a movie that actually where Adam Sandler is kind of forced to criticize himself completely.
But
whereas this, yeah. Like, he's just like, I'm rich and whatever. And... Like,
so let me ask you this, though, because you and I disagree on Funny People. Yeah. I think it's a good movie. I think everybody performs well in it, and I think it's two good movies in one, and it's way too long. But we're not here today to talk about Funny People. But so here's my thing. So you're saying, yeah, Adam Sandler's finally criticizing himself and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't the fact that he's made two fucking movies in the Grown Ups franchise sort of detract everything that he criticized himself for in Funny People?
I mean, but what I thought was good about that movie was that he is kind of like, I kind of am used to this. Like, he gets that chance. What's so good about why people kind of don't like that second part to me is that he is getting a look at what his normal life would be like. This is what normal life with Leslie Mann, if you hadn't fucked around, would have been like.
Yeah.
But then he's like, oh, but they're offering me, like, they keep on offering me these $20 million for fucking, like, baby shits too or whatever the fuck.
But, like, how much do you need, you know? I mean.
But that's what I think is interesting about it, is that he's talking about, I'm addicted to money. I'm addicted to this lifestyle I have.
I mean, cry me a fucking river. I mean, honestly. And Adam Sandler going back to doing those kinds of movies after Funny People and the quote-unquote revelation there. And I do like that movie probably more than Andrew, less than Chris, somewhere in there. But it's like Scrooge going back to Cratchit's house the next day after he gives them all the shit and robbing them blind.
Yeah.
Just taking that fucking kid's crutch, too. Just because he thought better of it. It's like, oh, wait, money is great.
I'll be taking that.
It's the day after Christmas, it is.
This goes to Christmas future. Like, oh, and he just, get the fuck out of here, Skellington. And he just shoves him out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, I got it.
Right. Eternity in hell, but now is heaven.
Yeah, it's valid, but we're sitting here in 2013 and he's still just making these movies. Like, why does it have to be he only makes a movie where he's giving a good alternative performance once every fucking 10 years or whatever? Because the last time it happened was fucking Punch Drunk Love.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, to me, and we can, you know.
Because I'm not going to, I'm not counting that 9/11 movie, by the way.
Rain on me?
Oh, you
Rain over me?
Rain over me?
Wait, that wasn't one of his big budget comedies?
One of his broad.
I guess I was the only one rolling in the aisle.
I don't think he plays a blue collar slob in that one, Eric.
I don't know. Don Cheadle had some pretty good zingers in that one, actually.
Adam Sandler, at the very least, in even his bad movies, his broad movies,
yeah,
like Jack and Jill, he's doing a character. This one, he is snoozing throughout this whole movie. He has a perfect opportunity to do a Bruce Springsteen impression and opts not to do it.
Just if that's Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Fallon's doing a fucking Bruce Springsteen impression.
Sandler was known for it. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. one of the things that, like, oh, man. I was like, oh, all right, that's kind of cool. He'll do a little Bruce Springsteen. That'll be fun.
That's the kick in the balls at the beginning of this movie when he is driving the school bus,
mm-hmm.
and he opens the door, and he does the, like, how about you gonna be a school bus driver? And he's, like, shaking his hands and doing his little, like, whatever impression. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that from 20 years ago. God damn, those were the days. Oh, it's over with 9 seconds. Now we're back to just watching you do things. Mm. I might as well watch him watch a Jets game. That, to me, would be more exciting than watching Grown Ups
2. Or, hey, why not just have him do a Kmart commercial?
Just let's talk about that.
Do the Kmart commercial.
Well, Chris, it's funny, yeah, because this movie is a Kmart commercial. They spend 20-some minutes at Kmart talking about how great Kmart is, and look at this. You can buy a raft in a box.
You can buy a big Shangri-La all of a sudden.
You can just work out, sleep, take a shit. Kmart's got it all.
So, not that there's really any plot to this movie, because there's not, but so some broad things about it. One, it takes place over the course of one day. It's a bottled time movie.
Is it the last day of school?
Yes, yes, it's the last day of school. Everybody's getting ready for summer, and you know that night it's announced Adam Sandler's throwing a fucking party at his McMansion to celebrate the summertime.
Which that but, yeah, just the structure of this movie. I kept the first half hour had me fooled. I was like, and then this day is going to end. And then this day is going
to
end.
When are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
And no, and it doesn't happen. Because like, then things would pick up a little bit. But just because it is one long day, we're watching people eat breakfast. I watch them eat lunch. I watch them eat dinner.
Well, that's the thing. The dinner sequence where you see them all eating dinner with their family is really an intermission to remind you of what happened in the first hour.
Yeah, everybody's just going to come back together, sort of discuss what they've all done with the day.
Yeah, huh. So I got pissed in the face by a deer today.
Good Lord.
So we should, I guess we should start there, really, because that's the opening of the movie. A deer wanders into his mansion, somehow makes its way up to the fifth floor without using the elevator.
And then past the butler.
Yeah. And unloads all over Adam Sandler's mouth. I don't know why, but it's there.
It is, by the way, the most computer-fied, computer-y, computerific deer you've ever seen. The fucking deer in Eight Crazy Nights look more realistic than the deer in this movie.
And I don't get it. Like, I get, like, for the pissing scenes why you'd want to go CGI, but sometimes that deer is just fucking staring at the camera, and it's still like a fucking cartoon.
It looks awful.
It looks terrible. And then not only does it piss on him, it runs into the bathroom and pees on his young, naked son.
Who's in the middle of masturbating, by the way.
He no, got a,
is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's alluded to that he was masturbating. And now,
oh, I like this now, and it keeps going.
Yeah,
oh, no, I'm confused forever.
Well, why not just make that this, like, they do, eventually you find out that he was masturbating. He kind of cops to it. But when you actually see him do it, he just kind of covers his junk. Like, that's the whole thing. And
but then, like, Salma Hayek sees his erection and, like, screams.
Oh, God, I didn't notice
because
that.
It's like, because, you know, whatever, your mother, like, sees you in the yeah. shower, whatever. She fucking yeah. birthed you and raised you, whatever. But that's what it is. Oh, like, yeah, he's got a huge that, yeah. fucking erection, and she screams because she knows what's going on.
And now he's got, like, now he's, like, into golden showers,
I
want to
fuck my mom and pee on a deer and jerk off.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah, yeah.
That kid's ruined, I'll tell you that much.
That kid's going to have so many viruses on his computer.
Multiple accounts on FetLife.
Just for whatever day of the week it is?
Monday, FetLife Day. Like my Monday account on FetLife.
Deer piss, 99.
I'm a fuzzy, but you have to dress up like an elk.
Wait, this is like some type of fetish site?
Yeah.
It's like a fetish Facebook.
Okay. FetLife. Oh, I didn't know about it.
Hey, gang, this week's episode is brought to you by FetLife. No, it's not.
I'll take their money.
Yeah, because you know they're raking it in, by the
absolutely.
Way.
They got secret. Adam Sandler's son. They've got multiple accounts. Got a couple accounts over there.
So there's something we need to address in this movie because it's a real problem and it crops up on all sorts of things like Comedy Central specials and Norm MacDonald's podcast and every Adam Sandler movie. And it's a virus known as Nick Swardson. Nick Swardson, I'm sorry, is one of the most unfunny comedians I've ever seen. And I've seen at least two Nick Swardson comedy specials. I've seen him in all these movies, in fucking Grandma's Boy and all. I don't find it funny. I love Norm MacDonald's podcast. That episode with him is unlistenable because it's just him talking about how he likes to just get drunk and just try to get free hotel rooms because he's Nick Swardson. It's obnoxious. And he is the worst part of this movie.
I agree with you on every front. He's the only one that showed up for work every day.
Because he has to, though.
Yeah, well, he's the whipping boy.
He's the one that I think Sandler must be like, oh, yeah, Nick, you want a job? Well, you're fucking dancing for it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're the one that's going to be getting thrown around and putting shit up your ass and whatever else that he says in this movie that's just some of the unfunniest jokes you've ever heard.
Well, maybe that was the thing. Maybe Adam Sandler's on FetLife and he's like, I need a monkey. So Nick Swartzman's like, yeah, I'll be your monkey.
He's
Swartzman 6969's on there.
He's just doing a thing where he's kind of got like Jekyll and Hyde like impression going on. Like, because he's just crazy. He's the crazy bus driver.
You know, he's pretty abhorrent. But I remember enjoying Grandma's Boy, but I was, crinkly hand drunk. I don't know what was going
crinkly
on.
Crinkly hand?
What if the Chris
Creaky
Cabin?
Hand.
Yeah, creepy hand. Creaky hand drunk.
Well, how else do I log on to fetlife.com?
Wilford Brimley gets crinkly hand drunk, all right?
Well, because I think Grandma's Boy is kind of a funny movie, but Nick Swardson's not like a
He's
main
not the
character.
Reason, right,
it's
yeah.
Alan...
Culvert, I think.
Culvert, yeah, one of those other Sandler buddies. No, not Alan Thicke. I was almost cast in Adam Sandler's Grandma's Boy, but I missed the darn audition. Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke running late every morning. That's a show I want to watch.
And that guy plays kind of the Beavis and Butthead hippie teacher.
Yeah, he does.
He is the Beavis and Butthead hippie teacher. Yeah, I mean, because also, yeah, those guys, of course, are in it. It's... Yeah, that guy, Alan Covert, and then the other dude who is like, he kind of looks like Ian Roberts from UCB, whatever, the big guy. Yeah. He's like cross-eyed in this movie because that's hilarious.
Whew. He, like, him in Kmart, I can't even...
can we just address that first? Like, crossed eyes. Hilarious. I mean, that's a joke you don't even have to write.
Crossed eyes or lazy eyes or whatever are big this season because it's in that. It's in the Way, Way Back. Allison Janney's kid has a lazy eye. And
hilarious.
90% of her dialogue is making fun of this kid's affliction for some reason.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, so they're in Kmart for almost no reason other than Kmart gave them money to be in this movie.
Oh, yeah. It's 100. I've seen commercials. I saw commercials over the 4th of July weekend. Kmart commercials saying, hey, everybody, go to Kmart and also watch the film Grown Ups. And it's like this movie, it's this thing where, like, it's cross-promotion, obviously. You know, they sold everything under the sun, and, like, Kmart's like, well, we're kind of hip. You know, you want to take a shit in Kmart? You guys are the artists. I'm not going to step in and tell you what's what.
Yeah, Kmart really does take a beating in this movie.
It does.
Well, because it's like fucking senior skip day. They all have jobs, apparently, other than Adam Sandler. But they just don't go.
In this day and age, you know what working class America wants to see? Adam Sandler's character retiring at fucking 48 years old or whatever.
It's great.
As a billionaire.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I didn't see the first film, so I don't know.
The first film, by the way, because one person was creaky hand drunk and two other people didn't see it.
An agent?
He's either an agent or a producer or something like that. So he's like they're loaded and live in LA. And then this movie's like that he retires before 50 and decides he's going to move back to his hometown. But where all his other friends are slumming it in fucking two-story ranch-style houses or trailers or whatever David Spade lives in, he lives in the biggest house I've ever seen. It's like two White Houses. It's gigantic.
Oh, no, yeah, it's way bigger than that. It's like the Grand fucking Canyon.
It's got a backyard. This house has hills.
There's a guard tower. There's archers at the ready.
Yeah, you have a concert venue in your backyard. Whole a fucking coliseum.
Mm-hmm. I think
a moat and drawbridge.
If you look out Adam Sandler's backyard in this movie, you see red rocks. It's just red rocks.
And you can put a Kmart back there because you guys are the funny ones. I'm just the guy writing the checks. You guys have fun out there.
Just Alan P. Kmart, whatever.
Just you guys. I don't know what funny is. You guys knows what funny is.
And it's literally them just walking around to Kmart, trying out products and talking about their lives
and making fun of Tim Meadows because he's bald.
Yep.
First of two legitimate laughs in this movie, Tim Meadows saying, what?
You laughed at that?
The first time it happened, and it happened 16 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you laugh at the ninth time that happened?
The first time I was like, ha-ha! I got another legitimate laugh coming up. We'll get there. But
all right.
I got two. God. Anyone else got any legitimate
There's a couple of legitimate laughs for me. One of them was the second John Lovitz appearance.
Yes,
where
me too. Yeah.
He's staring down at like the sexy ballet teacher. And what is the line? He's like, I'm having the time of my life or something like that.
It was very Lovitz.
Very Lovitz.
Having a great time tonight.
Yeah.
I had a laugh when Chris Rock calls that fat kid white precious.
By the way, this fat kid, and it's really unfortunate because it's a fat kid on a bus who's like bullying Adam Sandler's little scrawny kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it prompts four fully grown adults, professional comedians, to make fun of how fat this kid is.
If they were doing that on Facebook, that kid would have killed himself. Like, Adam Sandler gets on like the PA system of the bus and just makes fun of how fat this kid is like four times.
It's really Dennis Dugan's bully.
Although no one's forcing anyone to watch gay pornography, which is a joke I made last week.
Holy cow, do I have to see that movie?
Oh, Bully? It's terrible.
Is that streaming on FetLife?
I think it was FetLife was created by the director of that movie, Larry, whatever the fuck is
Larry
name.
Clark.
That guy's a fucking child molester.
Yeah, he's a child.
He's not a child molester. He just clearly likes looking at teenage boys with their shirts off.
I thought we were talking about that anti-bullying movie.
Oh, no, that also
I thought
is
that was
called
the documentary. So for a week now, I've been thinking that like somewhere in this documentary about bullying, the bullies actually make kids watch gay pornography. And then I was just like, oh, my God, I got to go watch that. That's on Netflix.
No, it's the dude from Carnival who's also in Terminator 3, Nick whatever his name is.
Stahl.
Yeah.
R.I.P.D.
And the late, great Brad Renfro.
That's right, yeah. And Nick
Snubbed
Stahl.
By the Oscars death reel Brad Renfro.
R.I.P.D.
Brad Renfro, yes. Nick, whatever his name is not dead though.
I know, but he had a near death experience.
He's also in a psychiatric institute right now.
Although he gets fucking murdered and in the bedroom.
Oh, that's right.
Anywho, we're in Kmart. So after bullying, Adam Sandler's a little pissed because his son didn't stand up to the bully. So they're like, oh, you're a pussy. Remember how you stood up to our bully? And he's like, oh, who, that guy? And like he kind of, this is when Adam Sandler tries to joke around a little bit where he's like pretending to be afraid. And it's like, oh, I see. You're acting there. All right.
Oh, look at that.
Hey.
The bully, by the way, welcome to the program, Stone Cold Steve Austin. What a treat this was.
Well, because we had to jump ahead 10 years because he's been making some great bad movies in the last couple of years.
He's got a movie that, I don't know, maybe some folks out there, whenever it is, the next time we do a listener request month. I forget what it's called, but it's him and Steven Seagal playing Best Buds. It came out last year, or no, maybe even early this year, but it's like they're assigned to help decommission this prison and then all hell breaks loose. It's Steven Seagal's The Expendables, and the only Expendables are Steven Seagal and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Steven Seagal threw an Expendables and only Stone Cold show up? Just like, come on, all right, I'll get the whole gang.
I guess because he was, killed off in the first Expendables? Cause yeah. Wasn't he? Yeah, he was one of Robert's henchmen, right?
Yeah, he gets a pretty phenomenal death in that movie, as far as I remember.
He's also in Vinnie Jones's The Condemned.
Oh, God.
Not that Vinnie Jones directed it. That'd be great.
Why can't I direct a movie, Steve?
Because all the shots would be too high, Vinny. Everything would be a bird's eye view.
It's like a movie that feels like you're driving a giant SUV.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Kmart happens. Nick Swartzen's all fucking strung out on coke. So he takes a shit and like in a toilet in Kmart.
A show toilet.
One of Kmart's show toilets, which I don't know if they have.
I mean, I haven't been to a Kmart in a while, so maybe they sort of like rebranded themselves like a Target or something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can buy a toilet in Target either.
No, that's
they're trying to get in on IKEA's.
Yeah, that might be.
Well, IKEA doesn't sell toilets. I mean, it's Sears, right, that sells toilets.
I like how every time somebody else brings up someone that might sell toilets, someone else refutes it. So I will say Sears doesn't sell toilets.
Caldors?
The Gap sells toilets.
Costco.
Let's just
Costco,
clearly
probably.
The Gap. Let's, the Gap.
Let's
the
just
Gap
flush this
sell.
One, guys.
Oh, look at that. So it's the middle of the day. We've had literally 20 minutes in Kmart looking at all the things you can do. They're barbecuing. They're drinking beer. And then they're like, oh, my God, we have to go to our kids' ballet recital.
Just Adam Sandler's kid.
Yeah.
No one else, none of the other people in this scene have a horse in this ballet recital.
No, Kevin James's daughter as well, because that's why he has a cat. No,
he is.
No,
he's,
that's oh, the thing.
He's just a pervert. Him and Maria Bella are just there.
They're just, that's what makes no fucking sense.
So everybody has jobs and everything else has to go to some kid's ballet recital in the middle of the fucking day?
Yeah, the reason why everyone has to decide not to get a paycheck today is that this teacher's got a great set of
hooters.
Yeah,
she's got,
I was
real
gonna say, talent.
Movie hooters. What talent? Oh yeah, she's
a ballet instructor.
She has gigantic boobs and they all want to go, and because Steve, they're one big family, man. They're all just gonna show up.
And also, just to serve this movie's ends of showing me this girl's tits, it's her on stage and she's doing ballet with the kids. That doesn't happen.
Well, no, I bet that happens where the teacher's like, okay, kids, come out and do what I do. Yeah. Like, remember what we practice. But this woman is doing out-and-out stripper ballet. And then these little girls come out like, la, 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 la. And this woman is like crawling on the floor, cleavaging from here to kingdom come.
And how is this even comedy? This is just an excuse to show breasts. And that's all this movie does. I mean, it's so goddamn broad that it's just like vomit jokes, shit jokes, and breasts.
Cleavage.
Yeah, it's
not
just
even breasts. It's just cleavage.
Yeah, you know what, Adam Sandler? Right. Why don't you just go and make a full-on Porky's-esque boob comedy?
Just do
cleavage nonsense.
Just do pornography.
And fucking, we did miss one thing that I think is important. Tim Meadows, bald, working in Kmart, he has a brother.
He certainly does. And who plays his younger brother there,
that
Chris?
That would be Shaquille fucking O'Neal.
Good gravy.
If you and I, we don't plan these that well, these summer, as you can tell. if you would have told me 5 months ago we would have done two Shaquille O'Neal movies in the summer blockbuster, I would have fucking hung myself.
Well, because the only other options would have been Blue Chips or fucking Kazam.
And I'd say Blue Chips is a damn good movie.
No, I know. That's why it would have been Kazam.
But Kazam's better than this and Steel.
He is. Yeah. That guy has not been. Did not take the season off for acting class.
He certainly didn't. Because he's terrible in this. He's playing a police officer. It's him. And then that third Adam Sandler lackey, whose name I don't know. Yeah, he's that the guy. He's one of the gay guys in Big Daddy.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know his name either.
And the whole scene is just laughing, or what we're supposed to be laughing at, fucking people ogling this ballet teacher. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. He's a police officer. Took the day off as well to stick his tongue out while looking at this woman as if she was a Philly fucking cheesesteak.
It's like it's a bunch of guys who don't even have children standing in the back of the auditorium going like, la, 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 la.
Hey, everyone, try to go down to your local elementary school and do that. The police will actually arrest you.
Well, single men not allowed.
Well, so then what does that make Shaquille O'Neal, the bad lieutenant?
He really is. If you watch this movie, him and his partner have gone through a series of crimes. They're discharging their weapons in the air. They're doing madness. They should be kicked off the force and probably put in the electric chair. Shaquille, maybe two electric chairs.
Do they go on top of each other or do they go side to side?
I think maybe he just puts a foot in each.
There are three ESPN employees in this movie.
Oh, man.
And it's obnoxious. There is Dan Patrick playing a creepy gym coach who wears, like, thong shorts.
And you're seeing his asshole the entire... Like, yeah. He's really showing it.
It's weird.
Movie.
And then you got Boomer.
Oh, Chris... The worst scene in this movie is Chris Berman.
Chris Berman, who's like on the soap opera, like telenovela or whatever. And then you've got this guy's more regional. He's the voice of the New York Yankees, and he's on ESPN New York. Michael Kay does the drive time show. And it's weird. I don't know what – I mean, I know Sandler's a sports fan, but I don't know what his deal is with ESPN because he always goes on the national show in the morning, the radio show, Mike and Mike, and always plugs – whatever movie he's got out. He did it for this movie. He did it for the first Grown Ups. He did it for That's My Boy. It's really bizarre, but these guys are just in this movie. Michael Kay is not bad. He's the football coach that went like for half a second when Sandler's kid is like really great at kicking the football. Also, Adam Sandler talking about a football kicker. I'm like, oh yeah, Lonesome Kicker. That was fucking hilarious on those great comedy albums you had. Back to Grown Ups.
Talk to you later. Can we talk about the... And we've talked about it a couple times, is the male to female, like the men that women have to marry in movies, unfortunately, like
right.
The disparity in that ratio, no more so than this ever.
Right. In this movie.
You've got Maya Rudolph and Chris Rock. That's believable. That's pretty much on par, you know.
That works.
Give or take, back and forth. David Spade and no one, that's also works.
Well, no, keep in mind, David Spade's sort of love interest in this movie is that jacked bodybuilder woman who works at Kevin James' auto garage.
And by the way, and this is how terrible this movie is to women, like, oh, this woman works out, you know, that's her thing, fine, but...
Female bodybuilders, whatever,
yeah,
it happens.
They exist, they're normal, they're women, and then, but no, we gotta make all these jokes like she's got a dick or something, or how weird it is, like...
They're nice cock, bitch, they throw a rock at her head.
No, there's six instances where someone speaks to this woman in this movie, and five of those times are people being like, she's got a dick. The other time is David Spade licks tanning oil off her bicep.
You know,
as if it were a caramel apple.
I think this movie might be actually made for Peter Sarsgaard's character in Boys Don't Cry. Like him and his pals drinking beers. Like, I think that's the intended audience.
For people who hate everybody
and want to kill people.
I'm going through the IMDb cast here to see if we missed anybody. And speaking of SNL alums, anybody remember Melanie Hutzel? Because she's a mom in Kmart in this movie.
Nope.
Melanie Hutzel. That's all I remember about Melanie Hutzel's time on SNL.
We're also forgetting the fucking plague that is Sherry O'Terry.
Yeah, Cher Oteri's terrible in this movie.
She's a woman that was once going out with Sandler, who's obsessed with him, because obviously all women would be obsessed with him, and that's how he got Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
Like that you're talking about the women in this film, and it's the, what kind of curse is this?
And then Maria Bello with fucking Kevin James. And like he's sitting next to Maria Bello and filming this bodacious babe like, oh man, I can't wait to jerk off to this later while Maria Bello's asleep upstairs. Like, are you fucking kidding
and
me?
She's like, oh, I understand your need to leer at other women. Let's go to this car wash where these high school cheerleaders are, like, basically getting naked and rubbing themselves on a car. God bless America.
I want to encourage your love of underage girls. Let's go. I want to treat you to it.
Just, yeah, let's go. Because
I'm a weird wife. Hey, guess what? I'm a weird wife.
No.
You like that little girl? Let's go watch her.
But that's the thing.
Weird wife.
That's what you're thinking, but this movie's thinking, that's a cool wife.
Oh, that's a super cool wife.
No.
Well, you're 40. You want to watch a 16-year-old girl wash our car?
Instead of thinking about this body, I go to Planet Fitness every fucking day to tone. Why don't you think about these cheerleaders?
Sure.
Yeah, she's actually taking care of herself, and Kevin James just looks like, I don't know, Chernobyl.
That's a rug he's got these days. Can we all agree on that?
Kevin James?
I think he's sporting a rug.
That's a little too cross rug.
It looks like Jeremy Piven hair. It's a little too close to Jeremy Piven's doll hair.
That is straight up doll hair. And this is also the car wash scene is where we get all those other SNL cast members.
Yeah, the whole
such as Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah, and Will Forte's a little old to be in that crew, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing is we just had a great laugh about it. I don't want to spoil it, but I think they're all college kids, by the way, because they're all wearing the insignia of like the local college.
Really, but okay. Yeah, I guess I would actually establish that there is a college there.
Yeah, there's a vague reference to a college being somewhere in this town, because the bad guys in this movie are Taylor Lautner and fucking Mia Ventimiglia, Milo Ventimiglia.
And also, just to make a point, because you brought up Shaquille O'Neal and Bad Lieutenant earlier, he does have a shirtless scene because he gets washed by the cheerleaders.
Oh, that's right.
It's fucking heinous.
And then the other cop, whose name, by the way, is Peter Dante, I just remembered, playing Officer Dante, is like also just washing him. And I'm like, this isn't funny. And then Taron Killam eats bird shit for no reason.
For no reason.
That's what's kind of frustrating. Yes, it's cool that they're all in this movie. I think all those guys are great. And they're still much funnier than all the other older fellas in this movie. But they're just given nothing to do, and you're being brought down to that level by fucking eating bird shit off of a
car. And you're right. Why not just pass the fucking baton? Have them be characters in this movie. And
they're kind of just extras. I guess it's a cameo, but, I mean, come on.
Anyone who is not Adam Sandler, Kevin Spade, all those fuckers. Anyone who's not the principal four has to or their wives or children has to humiliate themselves in this movie.
Yep.
Downright humiliate themselves.
Correction to that.
Correction to that. Humiliate yourself.
The wives do have to humiliate themselves because
that yoga scene.
Yes.
Yep. We could get the yoga scene. This is, by the way, this thing takes place during one day. I did have to make notes because I watched this 2 weeks ago. My big note is, what time is it? Because you never know. Like, how could this at all take place in a day?
They fit a lot in.
And
you're right.
So intercut between the boys in Kmart being bad boys at bad Kmart. All the women hang out together and do yoga together. And they make fun of this woman who has a different body type because she's muscular. Like, hey, nice dick, bitch. And Peter Sarsgaard fucking drinks his Miller Lite and is really loving it. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill somebody later.
I'm a girl, you know.
So in this
he's
scene,
a genuine draft man.
This is where Lovitz comes in, who's legitimately kind of funny. But what they have to do in this scene is degrading.
Right, but this is it just makes every lady character in this scene the dumbest fucking person ever.
Yep.
Because John Lovitz comes in, and he's being very funny. He's being Lovitz, and he's like, all right, ladies, your instructor's late. So he told me to get you started on some warm-ups. And then it's shit like, bend over, smack your ass, and like they're all falling for him. And now, he's dragging the mop and bucket behind him.
Yeah, he's clearly not making an effort to cover up the fact that he's the janitor of the yoga studio, I guess.
And now juggle your titties, ladies. Just flip them in the air there.
It's so stupid.
And you've got to smack your ass a little bit. Smack your ass a little
bit. So you have these actresses doing this stuff, and it's like you sort of, you know, I guess there's kind of a laugh there, but it's really just for the audience's objectification.
And these are actresses I like. You know what I mean? Like, I love Salma Hayek. I love Maria Bello. I love Maya Rudolph. And I don't know who's... And there is no fourth. The fourth is the muscular woman who might as well be put to
death. There's the muscular lady. And then also, though, another person who's in the yoga studio. And then I don't remember what family she's a part of, but they pop up from time to time.
She's the wife of the principal who keeps who gets blue paint everywhere.
Yes, the wife of the principal is Sandler's wife.
Oh, his actual
and
wife.
And then their kids are Sandler's kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just to make this more of a family affair.
Oh, it's a family affair, all right. And I mean the kids thing is we get to watch Grown Ups Junior a lot. As all these kids have little things. David Spade has a son who's like this big psychopath.
He looks like Alexander Sarsgaard.
He does look like Alexander.
Oh, you know
Sarsgaard.
Who that is? That's the guy from The Hunger Games.
Oh, Josh Hutcherson?
No, he's the bad guy.
Oh yeah, okay. I mean, he's just kind of an unknown actor. Yeah, no, it's not Josh Hutcherson. It's
or the Hemsworth brother.
No.
Rory Hemsworth, I think his name. No,
it's Liam. Liam Hemsworth. But I mean, I think that's a thing also where it's like, hey, if we get all the same actors back, they're going to be a lot older and thus can competently perform in scenes more. Just do it so we have to be in this less.
Absolutely. And we watch Sandler's kid and Chris. I never get the whole, I mean, it's a movie thing. I was never friends with my dad's best friend. First of all, my dad didn't have a best friend that he hung out with every fucking day because he was a grown man.
That he skipped out on work
for responsibilities. Well, but I'm not hanging out with that guy's son.
We kind of did growing up, but then that other family had a bad divorce and we never really hung out with them after that.
Good, due to moral outrage.
You were Catholic.
Yeah, we were all just so fucking disgusted that they gave up.
We don't hang out with the condemned.
You might.
We don't need no damned child in this house.
I will say, I was a child of divorce, went to Catholic school. I don't remember the.
They shut the door in your face?
No, I don't remember the context or anything, but at one time during religion class, they asked everyone whose parents were divorced to raise their hand.
Oh, no!
And I was like, what are we doing here, folks?
Were you the only one?
No, it was like a couple of kids.
It was New York City.
Yeah, it was New York City. Inner cities.
Now, kids, pass your crucifix forward if you are a product of divorce.
All you divorced kids can just put your head down during religion class. You're not going to get any benefit.
You can go sit in the basement. Here.
Oh, it's already been decided.
So, I don't know. So, what I was going to was the watering hole. Right. So, you watch Sandler's son and Rock's son get into hijinks. Oh, and Spade's son. They all go. And like they're like, oh, let's get into trouble. Let's go to the watering hole. And there's like a big college party. And this girl who's wasted gives Sandler and Spade's kid and Rock's kid beers.
Yeah.
And this is a twofold thing. The way I took this scene, because she's like drunk, she's like, hey, have beers. And like walks away and they look at her ass like, yeah. And they dump the beer out. I think they dump the beer out because at core, this movie is family-friendly bullshit. As much as the shit and the piss and the farting and the tits.
You're right, because Sandler's kid says to Rock's kid, like, I'm not ready for beer yet.
Which is horseshit. You're 17 years old.
Yeah, no, you're prime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You're drinking that beer. Like, and that's so much funnier, too. Like, I mean, in the 80s, you'd watch, like, drunk kids. And like, oh, that's kind of fun. Like,
dude, I just rewatched Weird Science the other day, and they fucking go to that blues
that jazz
bar
club scene is
and get
hilarious.
Shit hammered. Yeah. And Michael, whatever his face is. What's his face?
Anthony Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall is like talking like a black blues musician. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life because they're drinking straight scotch
and smoking
cigars, by the way.
And you can't like, and you learn a little lesson. They vomit, and then kids are like, "Oh, I'm not going to drink," even though they will. And
yeah, oh my god, a hangover. I'm not going to do this for a while.
Another turn would be.
Well, these kids decide to start dumping out the beers they're given, and they continue to hang out with the drunk girls and start fondling them, I would say, like getting all over them.
They're both dancing up on them.
There's some hugging, you know.
They take their shirts off at one point. It's very much implied these girls are drunk and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's rape them. Let's take advantage of the situation at the very least. I mean, if you are going, like a normal kid going to this situation, oh, it's a party. We'll drink too. Have a little fun. See where things go. But this calculated move of not drinking, maybe I'm just offended by not drinking.
No. How dare you?
I can't wait till you have kids. You're going to drink that fucking beer. You hear me?
Yeah, man. Fucking European household.
I said before we go on the air, this is a rapescapade.
It is. It's at the very least weird and creepy.
It is, because at one point she does say to one girl, says to Sandler's kid, like, "Are you guys as wasted as we are?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then they're like pretending. They're pretending to be drunk, which is weird. They start acting like, "Oh yeah, this is a great time."
Sarsgaard's in the audience. "Oh, good move, man. I never had the discipline for it myself, but I appreciate it."
Yeah, but what I mean honestly, that has to be the angle here, cuz you're not at this party to have fun, like, which is what the objective of a party is. You're there to fool women into thinking you are also inebriated, so that they could feel safe passing out.
Problem is, though, we've now overanalyzed this scene for longer than the scene actually is, because then it's back to like, "Oh boy, I just wish I could ask Julie out on a date," you know? Yeah. And then he instantly goes back to being like a 17-year-old kid who can't talk to girls. It's just, it's an oddly placed Porky's-esque, you know, scene, or, you know, maybe a Revenge of the Nerds-esque bit of shenanigans.
Oh, well, then they, Revenge of the Nerds, they would have actually raped the girl.
Full on rape, yeah.
<'Cause> that's what,
that cackle afterwards, ooh, that's chilling, isn't it?
Bone chilling.
Because that does happen in that movie.
Sexy prank.
Yeah, that is.
We've had this argument before. You and your sexy, you go fucking defend sexy prank in a court of law. You see where that takes you.
I just like saying it like that. Sexy prank.
And the sexy prank that Andrew loves so much is pretending to be a girl's boyfriend and then having sex with her and then laughing in her face afterwards.
Who allows a Darth Vader helmet to be kept on during intercourse?
There's maybe you're into it. Right here. Fatlife.com.
That's your Wednesday profile, Vader helmets.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I'm not too picky. I'll take a dark helmet, too. A little space balls action. And then I'll take, you know, you see where I'm going.
What the hell? A couple of Ewoks.
Just see what happens.
Well, if I'm going to have sex with a midget, they might as well be dressed up.
Anywho, the film Grown Ups.
Oh, this is Grown Ups, dude.
Yeah. This is when we meet Milo Ventimiglia and Taylor Lautner. They're like bullies because they're frat dudes and they're in good shape, and that's like the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody.
I'll tell you what, man. Taylor Lautner's just standing there doing non-CGI backflips.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
So, and they have the only evidence that I have that anyone rehearsed anything in this movie is that secret handshake. I'm like, oh, that's well choreographed. Like, yeah, somebody showed up the day before to do this.
Yeah, they do a big bro-y frat house like secret handshake, and it's like, it's extensive and, you know, comically so. And it plays, honestly, like they're an okay part of this movie.
And they're bullies, and they make them like strip down naked and like do the much in the trailer jump into the lake scene.
And this leads into something that I want to spend a little time on, is the fact that there are a number of characters in this movie that clearly just have superpowers. They are undefeatable. They're fucking unbreakable, actually. They're unbreakable. Because this is, you see it in the trailer, and it's not just cut that way for the trailer, but Kevin James jumps off with his fucking big Red Wing work boots on and lands on David Spade's face from 35 feet up in the air. And David Spade just comes up and has that "I was inside you" joke, and he's totally fine.
My secret favorite ending that doesn't exist for this movie is Tim Meadows saying, "I'm just like you! I'm just like you!"
They call me Mr. Glass!
By the way, I think this scene is very much like the movie itself. Instead of taking a couple of hits and keeping your dignity, I mean, these are kids telling you to strip naked and jump off a goddamn cliff.
Yeah, just and, get in a fight with that werewolf.
And that is, yeah, exactly. Just let him beat the shit out of you. Keep your clothes on. Brush yourself off. You'll be a goddamn man. And that's not what anyone in this movie does, and that's not what they do with their careers either. It's like Adam Sandler tells them to get naked and jump off a cliff, and they do it, and that's what Grown Ups is.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's true.
Kevin James, who could wrestle a bear, doesn't hit any of these kids, doesn't, like, fuck you, get away
well,
from me.
Well, he's probably got some bad knees.
I mean, that's possible. Think about this.
Fat guy, bad knees. It's a real thing.
You're in good. You leer at women with the goddamn police officer who's 80 feet tall. What are you worried about? Even if they hit you a little bit, these kids are cooked.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's clearly established in this movie that these guys can do no wrong in this town because they might as well, the four of them, share the mayorship. You know what I mean?
I think they are. Yeah, co-mayors.
They could, like, Adam Sandler could whip out a gun and shoot all these fucking kids. Mm-hmm.
And the
and
town
Shaq
would cover
be like,
it up.
Hey, ho, which he does in this movie a little bit.
We're going to bury them in the quarry. Hey.
All Adam Sandler has to do is go to the mayor, who should be played by Lorne Michaels, and say,
yes,
hang them at the town square. It's over. It's done with.
The superheroes thing. So there's that. And they all jump off, and it's like one lands ball first, one's face first, back first, and then David Spade gets crushed. And they're all like kind of limping, but that's it and whatever. I've done some high top belly flops before, and that shit puts you out for the rest of the day. You're going home. You're going home. You're getting some ice, and you're going to bed. And they just kind of walk out like, woof. Cut to their tires have been slashed. David Spade's van gets the tires slashed. So they go to Kevin James' garage to get new tires put on.
Where there is a advertisement for 5-Hour energy drink.
That's the most obscene part of the whole movie. At least they make Kmart a thing. Kevin James just drinking 5-Hour energy drink for the taste. And David Spade goes, 5-Hour energy. Nice. And that's it.
David Spade does have a funny joke there, though. And it was, I admittedly had a couple of legitimate laughs, but this is one where he goes, 5-Hour energy, and he keeps drinking them, and he goes, it's something like, oh, they keep me going, and he's like, what are you running to?
Mexico or something.
Yeah,
like
it's,
that,
so, yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, some joke like that, told in, you know, classic David Spade fashion, and it works out nicely. But then they put David Spade in the tire of a monster truck and roll him down the hill where he would again be killed. And he just goes down this thing, clinking the whole way, until Shaquille O'Neal gets out of his police car, not wearing his steel uniform, and just stands there as this CGI tire hits him in the chest and just falls over. And Shaquille O'Neal just stands there like Superman. And then there's just superpowers.
And then David Spade vomits everywhere, and that's a big old belly laugh.
It's like
the
projectile of vomit.
Another legitimate laugh for me was Colin Quinn, and it's just because he's Colin Quinn, and he says stuff in a funny way. He works at the ice cream store, and he has to humiliate himself. Not the humiliating made me laugh, but when he said that Sandler went to Hollyweird, that made me laugh. I was like, ha-ha.
I do like when people say Hollyweird.
I do like Hollyweird.
We say Hollyweird quite a bit around here because it's funny. But I feel like Colin Quinn probably has said Hollyweird a lot of times on Weekend Update. I feel like it's not the first time I've heard Colin Quinn use the expression Hollyweird. Just going to put that out there.
And speaking of, and we mentioned David Spade with his trucker hat and his Lifehouse singer wig on.
Well, you know what? He's hanging on a moment here with you.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So shut up.
But Colin Quinn, this was another legitimate laugh, is when he's like, David Spade's, an ice cream machine is broken. And David Spade's like, oh, I can fix anything with a plug. And Colin Quinn says, oh, so you can fix your hair?
Colin Quinn is a guy I think is very funny. I was a big fan of Tough Crowd.
Yeah.
Back in, God, when Comedy Central had shows
that,
I watched.
That stage show he did, the American stage show where he was going through history.
Yeah.
That was great. That was fantastic.
He's got a new thing coming out.
Not crazy about him. Well, I wasn't, you know.
I wasn't crazy about him on update. It just wasn't a good fit there. And he'll be the first one to tell you
and
that.
And he replaced, what, Norm MacDonald, who was like the great, for me, the greatest.
It's hard to fucking come off of Norm MacDonald's.
Don't worry, he pays his penance by shitting soft serve ice cream in this movie. And everyone points and laughs at him like he's a big fucking clown. And he's like, all right, this is going to sustain my stage shows for 2 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If I get a paycheck from a Sandler movie, I can work in, you know, he's been doing like warm-ups for the show downtown at like the Barrow Street Theater and shit, like really just working out this new thing, and that's it's paying the rent. You know, I'm not gonna fault him for it.
He performs at the Creek in the Cave all the time.
Yeah. Him and fucking Seinfeld was there one time. They're good buddies. It's humiliating. It's annoying too, because it's like the people who are trying in this movie and the people who are actually doing a good job at making me laugh, Colin Quinn, Lovitz, all those like supporting dudes, are just humiliated for their efforts. Like they're just embarrassed.
That's all of his movies. He has to set up this like fucking, you know, these paper men to blow over and be like, look how fucking strong I am. Well, you paid him to do that.
Which is weird though, because it's like, aren't these people your friends?
Well, it's the difference between owning your humiliation and like kind of like swatting it away. Like, I feel like the main cast is just like, anytime something comes up, they're like, oh, yeah, that was a thing. Anyway, I have a bajillion dollars. But, like, John Lovitz, he's just like, yeah, I'm a pervy fucking Jenner. Colin Quinn's like, yeah, I'm a loser who works at an ice cream stand where I was born.
Right. Well, also, Colin Quinn is sort of, I think I said this already, but he's like the bad guy of the first movie.
Yes, he gets
He's like the townie who never left, which he still is in this, and he hates Sandler because they used to be buds, and then they like Sandler
that was somewhere in the creaky hand.
Yeah. Sorry, your hand was creaking, but that's they play each other in basketball is like the big scene of
that's
the first
thing
movie.
Though is like this movie, it attacks all the wrong people because this guy, you know, he's fucking working at an ice cream store. Why leave him alone? Well, like, you know what I mean? Like he never left. He never did anything.
They
even
make a joke about that though, because Sandler's kid is going to start working there, and he goes, you know, yeah, it's a great first job for a kid. And Colin Quinn's face like goes dead, and he's like, or the only job you've ever had.
But so this rich guy is coming around showing, hey, kids, look at this fucking loser. I used to work here. You know what I mean? Like throwing rocks
when I was a baby, I used to work here. Now look at this grown man still working here. But you know, this movie actually kind of reminds me of now, like a comedy like Meet the Parents or something with Ben Stiller, where all the horrible shit is happening to him, and that's sort of the source of the comedy.
Right.
But it's like you take a script like that and then make the protagonist be, you know, untouchable by everything, and then all of his friends' horrible shit's happening to him, and he's just laughing at them. And that's what this kind of feels like.
It feels like that because it is that. And it's really uncomfortable, and it's unfair to these other people that are, I'm sorry, Adam Sandler, they're doing a better job than you in this movie.
You know what his big problem with this movie is? Is like his arc is, oh my God, my wife wants to have a fourth kid, even though I could totally afford it. I run away from any responsibility of raising my own children because she's the woman,
right,
and that's her fucking problem. And she wants to satisfy herself by having another kid. And he's like, I don't know. I don't want you to bear another child.
Right, but also, I mean, so the thing is, she's already knocked up by
the
way.
Yeah, that's
the
twist.
She's like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about having a kid, and he flips out. But it's like, all right, man, fine. You're not really cool with that, but then you find out that she's pregnant, and you like you're a dick about it. It's like, all right, you're totally rich. You could devote a wing of your house to the nanny that's going to live with you. And you know what? You don't even have to fucking talk to that kid.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even matter because you have all the money ever, and you're pissed off because you're finally like, well, now I get to stay home and I don't have to report to anybody. Because like she, for some reason, Salma Hayek owns a boutique in town,
mm-hmm,
or at least works there or whatever. I think
she owns it. Yeah. Sherry O'Terry
just for shits and gigs.
Why not?
Doesn't need the money, man. Nah, just for shits and gigs.
Just because I don't want to be bored all day. But and then like the kids are going to school and he's like, well, I just want to be able to sit around. Guess what's gonna happen when this kid comes around? You can still sit everywhere you want to.
Yeah, because it's gonna be a royal baby.
Because
Adam Sandler is basically the king of America.
Yeah,
and that's how much money he has.
Yeah, he lives in two White Houses.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no plot to this movie.
There's Everything, nothing.
It's All just right. strung together very loosely, and that's almost like, you think about a movie, like some of those Apatow movies get made fun of, like, oh, it's just all these guys just hanging out together. But at least those movies are improvised, so they are just like, let's put the fucking camera down, see what happens. And like, yeah, some of that stuff's a little can be inspired, you know what I mean? Like the jokes, and it feels improvised, it feels fresh. This is the this is written to the T. No one is improvising anything.
It doesn't feel that way, at least.
Yeah,
yeah. You know? It feels very awkward and like
stilted, and nobody wants to do the lines they have to do.
It's it's a lot of like, what's that line? All right, it's like I see old Krusty the Clown gag. What's that say? talk to the audience. Oh, this is always dead.
Not reading that. Not
I just picture like David Spade being like, nope, nope. No, all right, I'll say that one.
It's just Adam Sandler doing his like fake laugh from Billy Madison, like, you suck.
Man, I mean, there's just, I don't think we're ever going to get to everything in this. There's Steve Buscemi for no reason.
Yeah, there's Steve Buscemi who is debasing himself.
He
in this
really
movie.
Is. I usually like him in those Sandler movies because it's like
him and Big Daddy's fucking hilarious.
He gets to put on a silly hat
whatever.
And be funny. You know what I mean? He likes to do that. And like
Billy Madison is his best moment of that. I think.
Glad I called that guy.
It's funny. He loves to do that, but this he's. So basically, what we're kind of dancing around, which is the quote-unquote end of this movie, which is Adam Sandler for some reason throws an 80s-themed party to begin the summer.
Because this movie has the audacity to have the same story structure as Dazed and Confused, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Literally said on the last day of school, and then we're going to go have replace the water tower with fucking Adam Sandler's mansion.
So who's Wooderson or whatever?
Who's the oldest out of all those fuckers?
Maybe Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn. Yeah.
Colin Quinn is the Wooderson of grown-ups, too.
Colin, that's the only time you've ever done Colin Quinn equal Matthew McConaughey.
Hey, man, these high school jobs. I keep on getting older, but I still keep serving ice cream.
I get the same pay.
Bare minimum.
And then Colin Quinn makes that joke and then looks directly at the camera and goes, that was all right.
Yeah, okay. What do you do? But, I mean, so he throws this impromptu 80s party. He has the idea in the middle of the day. Somehow the entire town finds out.
Entire town.
The entire town finds out, and everyone has the best 80s costumes money could buy.
They are fantastic. I'm so jealous of every costume in this movie.
They had, like, an hour to get this together.
Yep.
Like, because this was, like, a party that no one knew was even happening at the start of the day. It evolved out throughout the day. People were like, hey, Adam Sandler, you're the richest guy in the world, and you got the biggest piece of property. You should have a party tonight.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's Chris Rock's party he's throwing at Adam Sandler's house.
Oh, that's right, because Chris Rock's like, hey, man, thinking about having my start of the summer party, but we can't have it at my house. It's too small. Let's have it at yours.
Because he's
because
he's cutting loose because Maya Rudolph forgot the anniversary. And the only other big thing he does is pour a big pitcher of Pepsi.
And he has to keep talking about this. It's just like, boy, I love shopping at Kmart. And to me, heaven, that's a glass of Pepsi.
Two glasses.
A whole pitcher full of Pepsi. I'm on cloud nine. Hey, everyone, Pepsi Cola.
Drink it.
Not the diet shit. Full caloric value.
He's not going to drink that diet shit. I think it is most disappointing for me to see him in this movie.
Yeah,
he is one of the greatest comedic voices that's ever come out of Saturday Night Live, the entire fucking run of that show. And here he is in this movie making jokes about Pepsi. When was the last time he had a stand-up special? I know he produces that Kumar Bell show, which I've seen a little bit of, and it's interesting enough.
Yeah, it's
and he's working on a new movie now, but it's just like, it's God just, damn, what happened to your voice? Where is your comedy?
Want to talk fucking Pootie Tang, one of my favorite comedies.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that was what less about it 10 years ago. And it's just been awful ever since.
Yeah, I think Pootie Tang was like, what, 2001,
I want to say?
Yeah, very early,
like
I think.
What was that marriage movie he did?
Oh, I Think I Love My Wife.
I Think I Love My Wife.
He's done the like Sandler venturing into those more serious things, and he produced that Good Hair movie.
Oh, he's in also another disappointing Chris Rock turn. He's in
Two Days in New York.
What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's like the leader of like the stay-at-home dads.
Yeah, it's like him and Tom Lennon, and they're like trying to make that movie funny, but it's like fucking send an electrovolt to a dead guy's heart. Nothing's going to happen. Like, you might get a twitch, but nothing. That's just involuntary.
I mean, yeah, he's the one that I hear him delivering these lines. And I look at around and I'm like, all right, Spade, that's fine. You've been on that sitcom forever. It's okay that you're doing this. But like, man, Chris Rock.
Kevin James is kind of like knows where his bread is buttered, because I don't think he would have had a film career if it wasn't for Sandler, because he just, King of Queens was big for a while. And
wasn't
then
it like Hitch one of his first bigger things?
Oh, well, he did Hitch. Do Hitch. He did Hitch.
He did Hitch, but I mean, that's, you're just swamped by Will Smith.
All those happy.
And Paul Blart.
I think that's a Happy Madison joint, if I'm not mistaken.
It might be.
At the very least,
Paul Blart Mall Cop is 1,000 times more hilarious than this movie.
So's The Zookeeper, which is the worst movie I've ever seen. Figure that out.
Steve Sadek's circular movie logic.
So, speaking of Kevin James, can we just talk about this little tick that he has in this movie where he burps, farts, and what is it, shits
sneezes.
His pants?
No, he sneezes.
Okay, sneeze.
Excuse me. It's called a burp snart.
Wow, fuck you for remembering that.
And you've seen it the longest ago, by the way.
That's the only thing I remember. It's his little famous burp snarts, because he teaches his fucking son how to do it.
Do you know this? Because it's happened.
I've been practicing at home for my burp snarts.
One of your interests on Fet Life.
Burp snarting.
Tuesday, I'm just burp snarting. He burps, he sneezes, and then he farts. And what's really aggravating to me about the burp snart, which I can't believe I'm like figuring out one thing that's terrible with it, but the way that he makes the fart gesture is totally a Curly from Three Stooges, like when he would do, like when Curly would get like revved up to go run at somebody, he like jerks his hip and arm and does the fart, and I'm like, how dare you make me think of the fucking Three Stooges when I'm watching Grown Ups 2?
It's also the beginning of most people's stroke.
Curly had a stroke.
He smelled toast, had burp snart, and then he fell on the ground.
Man, that's humiliating in that Three Stooges made-for-TV movie where Michael Chiklis is playing Curly, and they do the scene where he has the stroke in the hotel lobby, and everyone thinks he's doing the circle floor gag, and they're all just laughing at him, and it's just Chiklis on the floor, like, stroking out. They're like, look, he's doing it for free. Oh, it's embarrassing.
Have we talked about Chris Rock robbing an elderly lady of her only joy, cable television? Again, this is who this movie lionizes. Is this cable guy that wants to just dick around in K-Mart all day. Meanwhile, this old lady that just wants to watch fucking television before she dies.
Steve, it's a big old my fucking fat hairy mother-in-law joke.
Oh, yeah, it is. It dust that one off.
It's his mother-in-law, so we're just making mother-in-law jokes now. But yeah, so the mother-in-law has an appointment with the cable company, and you see like Maya Rudolph's on the phone with the lady like, and she's like, didn't you tell the cable company that your son-in-law works for them? Like, can't they do something? And she's like, my cable's been out for days, and they said between 8 and 4, and I'm missing all my stories. And every time I miss a story, I lose a day of my life.
It's all I have left, really. No one comes to visit me. That my cat died last week. If I could just watch one little television program.
And then he pulls up to this lady's house. It's like between 8 and 4. He pulls up at like 3:58, and then he waits for her to go take a big old lady shit, and then runs up to the door and knocks on it, and she can't because she's a fucking old lady, like, get back out of the bathroom. And then he puts the, like, sorry we missed you, we'll see you tomorrow. And she runs out like, you know, damn you, cable company.
And it's just another lonely night alone for her. She doesn't go to the fucking party. She's not invited.
And speaking of mothers, Kevin James has an addiction to watching Boomer on the soap opera Days of Our Lives with Ronaldo.
Yeah. Oh, man. Chris
it's a bad
Berman
cameo.
Is playing Ronaldo. I'm Ronaldo. I'm on a soap opera, the Adam Sandler movie. Boom, 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 boom.
That's just my Chris Berman.
Who could even imagine that would ever happen?
He turns to the camera and says, Ronaldo. And I was just like, oh, my God. There's Chris Boomer Berman just farting it up in an Adam Sandler movie.
Congratulations,
and he's
America.
Wearing a wig. And yet he's supposed to be playing an
like
Hispanic
sexy,
gentleman?
Yeah, like a sexy guy? No.
Yeah, this movie's like a dystopian.
It's so dystopian.
So it's we're all having fun at this fucking 80s party. Steve Buscemi, by the way, is dressed like Flavor Flav. And he's got a grill on. And he's like, oh, white people be whack. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, man. Nothing motivated me more to get back into Boardwalk Empire than watching Steve Buscemi in this movie. I've seen the first season, and I thought it was great. And then I just kind of fell behind.
Yep.
I got to get back into it because he is debasing himself in this movie. And it's like, I've seen you in other movies. Yep. I know that you're an amazing actor. You're amazing on Sopranos. You're amazing in Boardwalk Empire. You know, you're great in anything you've done with Quentin Tarantino. Like, holy fuck, this is just embarrassing. And at what point does he, like, turn to Sandler and be like, you know what? This isn't worth it. You know, like, when does he
my
just...
My one comedy a year, you know? You ruined it for me.
That's why, like, in... Eric and I were lamenting this when we went and saw this last night together. We were like, man, you know, we already knew from his podcast Norm wasn't in the movie. He pretty much said exactly that. He was like, you know, I don't ask Sandler for roles. You know, if he offers me something, fine. Yeah. And I was like, man, with all the people in that movie, Norm couldn't be involved. Norm dodged the bullet. Norm McDonald wins. Hashtag Norm McDonald wins because he's not in Grown Ups 2.
Fuck it. Farley wins.
Now, this is the thing, though, right? If I flashed us all back in time to, like, 1996, and I was like, guys, guess what? I saw a vision of the future, and Chris Rock, David Spade, Adam Sandler, they're all going to be in the same movie, and they're all, like, big roles. Isn't that going to be great? Like, wouldn't you be so excited?
Absolutely.
Now this is a point of groanerific malaise that we like see a trailer for this and you're like, ugh. I know what this is going to be. Ugh.
And it's somehow worse than that.
It is. This movie is worse than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've seen a worse Adam Sandler movie.
Honestly,
I'm really
I
not
thought,
sure.
Is this the worst Adam Sandler movie?
I honestly think Jack and Jill is better, which, by the way, is Norm MacDonald is in. Oh. Playing Fun Bucket, but.
Fun, but I mean, I guess I'll have to see it. Don't spoil it.
As horrific as Jack and Jill is, and it is, this is just, at least there's a plot to it.
That's the thing. There's no story.
I genuinely laughed at a decent enough clip in That's My Boy. It's not a good movie.
I saw the first 5 minutes of That's My Boy, and I thought it was funny. I just, like, you know, made sure the iTunes download worked, but I didn't, like, watch the whole thing yet. But, like, yeah, I was laughing at that. That's like sort of Adam Sandler going back to a well that also worked for him, was being in the 80s. Like that character, that's not set in the 80s, but that character is clearly stuck in the 80s. So all those jokes totally work. I mean, The Wedding Singer, amazing movie. Someone asked us at some point if we were going to do an episode about The Wedding Singer. I was like,
that might be his best. Pure movie. Like, I mean, obviously, Funny People, so on and so forth. The real movies are good movies.
Right.
Like, but pound for pound, Adam Sandler movie.
Right, yeah.
I would say The Wedding Singer is probably his most successful.
I mean, I like that one. I like Happy Gilmore a lot, and I like Billy Madison.
I love Billy Madison.
I think Big Daddy's a solid movie.
I do, too. People say that he kind of jumps the shark in that. I think he might, but
I feel like that's his transition movie from good to garbage. Because
Big Daddy.
Because I think, like, the first half's really funny. Even, like, the first, I'd say, 90 minutes is pretty funny. But then, like, that last 20 minutes where they try to make it a big fucking weepy where it's like, oh, I'm going to lose the kid and now I need to have my own kid and, like, all that stuff.
Right.
That's going into what he is now where it's just, like, every movie is shit jokes.
Well, you know what did that, though? The year after Big Daddy was Little Nicky.
Yep.
And that is one of the worst Adam Sandler movies. Yeah. That's Rodney debasing himself.
Harvey Keitel fucking debasing himself.
So do we want to just quickly, I guess, wrap up what the ending of this movie was?
Yeah, that's fine. Because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Taylor Lautner and all the frat guys storm the party. And, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin is there. And
can we talk about the Stone Cold scene really quickly? Because that's just obscene.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold shows up, and like he's like, I'm going to kick your ass. He's also married to the hot ballet teacher. It's something you don't realize. He's the bully from that Adam Sandler was afraid of. And joke's on you, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right, but to be fair to the Stone Cold Steve Austin character, he just walks in like, well, I thought this was a party for the town. You know, like he doesn't walk in like, fuck you, Adam Sandler.
No,
he just walks in like,
"Oh, you're saying I'm not welcome here?"
Yeah, and he gets
and then it goes from there.
Yeah, yeah, and then like you know, Adam Sandler is still trying to teach his kid the value of beating the shit out of somebody. So he goes up to, he's like, "You know I'm about to get my ass kicked by Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I can't let my son, you know, get beat up by bullies." So he picks a fight with Stone Cold, and they're about to get into it, and Sandler's like, "You know, I'm only doing this for my son's benefit." And Stone Cold Steve Austin, in one of the most insane turns a movie has ever taken and the most unearned justification of anything I've ever fucking seen, goes, "My little boy's in Afghanistan, and I would do just about anything for him." And he's like, "God bless." And Sandler has to stop and be like, "God bless you for your service to this country." What is happening?
Yeah, he's like, "I thank him for his service. I hope he gets home safely."
And it's just like, where do you get off making me think about the war in Afghanistan?
Nope.
No.
It's just wrong-headed. Like, that has no business being in this movie.
And everybody in this room supports the troops. I don't need to fucking think about that when I'm watching fucking Adam Sandler finger himself.
By the way, we're 5 minutes out from Kevin James's last burp snart.
Exactly.
And the Afghanistan thing just fucking is there. Who gives a shit?
I thought I'd never say a burp snart couldn't come soon enough. So Stone Cold gets, you know, yelled at by Adam Sandler and cowers.
Yeah, he cowers. He has to debase
throws
himself.
The fight.
He throws the fight because he's like, "Oh, if you're going to do that for your son and my son's over saving America, I better fucking cry about it.
I hope the terrorists throw the fight. What is this? Anyway, so then the frat boys show up to fight everyone because David Spade's son trashed their frat house single-handedly in an act of magic.
It's seriously like someone fucking took out a Harry Potter wand and went like, you know, vandalicious, and the whole frat house, which also kind of looks like the White House, just became covered in garbage. There are places on like the high levels of this building where there's just impossible graffiti, and they say in the movie that this kid was the only one that did that. Whatever.
So they show up and they're like, "We're gonna fight you, you old losers!" And there's like 150 people versus there's like 300 college kids now out of nowhere that are gonna fight. And Kevin James has the balls to come out and say, "Oh yeah, we're gonna fuck you up, you privileged rich kids." And I'm like, "Are you fucking kid? Where do you get off?
Where do you think you are right now? You're watching Jay Giles, man, in your friend's back fucking yard. What are you talking about, Kevin James?" And then they do a parody of the big Twilight fight. Where all the I don't even know what the fuck happens in those movies.
People are leaping on things. It's ridiculous.
It's unnecessarily violent too. Like the hits are a little too hard for my taste for a comedy fight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there literally needs to be ambulances at this house. Yeah, there's going to be like
breaking shit.
It's insane. Like, and then of course, like Shaquille O'Neal and the other cops are just there drunk and destroyed. And
Shaquille O'Neal is sleeping in a dollhouse. By the way,
they throw people.
That's what's ridiculous. So Milo Ventimiglia is giving Tim Meadows' bald head a noogie, and Shaquille O'Neal wakes up and is like, "Nobody messes with my brother," or whatever. And he picks this kid up and throws him across the backyard, over the swimming pool, over the fourth garage on this house. And
to the moon.
Yeah, he might as well throw him to the moon. It is silly. It's a silly thing to have happen in this movie.
It's very silly. You know, it's also silly. There's a bad free throw joke about Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh,
Salma
yeah.
Hayek has to, like, they're playing like quarters, and Salma Hayek's like, "Oh, that's easier than making free throws." I like to imagine how long it took people to explain that line to Salma Hayek, who could not. Wait, what do you mean? Well, he was a basketball player, you see, and he couldn't make free throws. Not that she's stupid, just that she couldn't give a fuck less about American basketball.
And then there's a reaction shot where Shaquille O'Neal looks up from the table, kind of growls, and in my head, I put in my own sound effect, which was.
Yeah,
because it's so in your face stupid.
And the table they're using is Adam Sandler's James Bond table, which you press one button and it's like, "Oh, we're just having juice boxes."
The table like flips on itself.
Yeah, and then it's
juice
pitchers
everywhere.
Of beer. Like, how does this even physically work?
Yeah, why is the beer staying in the glasses? Yeah. It makes no fucking sense.
Last summer's opening of the summer party, instead of the Jake Isles band, aliens showed up and they souped up his party table.
No, you know what I think it
they
is?
Also
I
said his ride.
I said that I thought David Spade's kid put a spell on that frat house.
Yeah. Oh.
We're saying Adam Sandler lives in a big house. I think they just live at Hogwarts.
I think
they live in the Hogwarts castle. You know, the end of that last movie, that place gets pretty fucked up. They had to rebuild it.
That explains all the costumes so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, 80s kiss, and they do it.
So we're towards the end of this film, and sometimes I like to find a little bit of the other opinion. Usually this is reserved for Bruce Dern movies, but I've got a couple of reviews from the internet from actual audience members.
We're breaking all the rules this week. It's okay.
So, okay. This first one here is from Rotten Tomatoes user reviews, and so is the next one, so I'll just go through them really quick. I took the kids and their friends to see this, and we all, including the audience, laughed our way through most of it. Absolutely silly as expected, but very well done. 7% Rotten Tomatoes rating? I'm starting to think these people are as dysfunctional as Congress. Okay, it gets better.
Way to go.
Here's the next one.
Yeah.
It was heavy on some of the stupid shit, but enough of it was pretty damn jokes. Hey, that movie was pretty damn jokes.
Hey, pretty damn jokes.
And the last one here is from Letterboxd, which is a site that is like more for movie lovers. So
it's a cool site, yeah.
Expected to see some, you know, marks of quality here. So here is that review. And this was like a full star review. Now, this is a funny movie. The movie is like a party. It has no plot. It's just Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, David Spade, Kevin James having a great time in a town with the cops. Shaquille O'Neal plays one, 4 exclamation points. And Taylor Lautner, who is usually gay, is in this, and he's cool. And the party at the end is really great. I would fuck Selma Hayek. I did not embellish this at all.
That's pretty damn jokes.
That is some pretty damn jokes.
That is a perfect way to wrap up this Grown Ups 2 discussion. Obviously, no one's going to recommend it.
Yeah, I would not recommend this. This is easily the worst movie of the summer for me.
It's the worst movie I've seen all year. And I saw that fucking Disconnected movie. Or what was that Bateman movie?
Disconnect.
Is that good? I want to see that really bad.
It's not good.
No, it's a terrible.
It's Crash with internet technology.
That's why I wanted to see it really bad.
Is it worth
watching it?
Woof, woof, woof. That movie. But you know what? I would watch that movie 6 times in a row before I watch Grown Ups 2 again. It's terrible.
It's clearly the worst movie of the summer. I don't know any other. There's nothing even close to it. Although I did want to point this out. This summer specifically, and it's of course all around in this movie. But this summer specifically, I've been noticing the product placement has gotten so much worse.
Yeah,
it's really brazen.
Everything like World War Z, for the most part, I was okay with it.
Brad Pitt's just eating Fritos throughout the whole thing.
Going on here? Zombies, huh? Nope.
The climax of the movie, it's almost that bad.
Okay.
The climax of the movie, he's just like kind of figured it all out, and he's leaving like where he gets like the vial of antidote.
Of funny stories.
Of funny stories. So he's leaving with this to go give it to the world, apparently, and he stops in the middle of a zombie apocalypse to drink an entire Pepsi can.
Wow. You got it. You got to power up.
Well, in his defense, that might be the last Pepsi can on Earth.
Yeah, I would savor the last Pepsi can on Earth. I feel like there was a lot running around in Iron Man 3, although I can't pinpoint it.
There's a ton of it.
Oh, Stark Industries. It's all over that thing.
That loser works in IHOP and Superman.
And
we're fucking up Sears and all sorts of shit.
The 7-Elevens in the background, that whole movie.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, these movies are getting more expensive, and
that's how you supplement the income.
That's just what you do. Not that they're tanking, by the way. These movies, of course, are all doing gangbusters.
I mean, yeah, but you think of a movie like Grown Ups 2 here, it's like all the money is going into the star salary.
Yeah,
like,
there's nothing here that costs a lot of money to make other than hiring these actors.
You can make this movie for $10,000.
You know what?
Or less.
How about you take some money out of Adam Sandler's pocket and give it to the CGI artists to make that fucking deer a little more realistic.
Do something.
Why not? Why not? There's a lot of CGI in this movie, actually.
There is.
Like the tire shit. Like when David Spade's rolling in that tire.
That just turns into a cartoon
just
for
5 seconds. I mean, obviously, the Shaq throwing a person 60 yards.
Oh, no, that was
fake.
Real.
Yeah? Oh, he's dead in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the opposite of pretty damn jokes is, but I think this movie might be it.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fascinating with these user reviews because, of course, you know, like, we're not going to be snots and be like, you're stupid for liking this movie. Everybody is totally welcome to like whatever movie they want, but at the same time, it's like, really, man? You were laughing your balls off that much at Grown Ups 2? Was it the first movie you ever saw? I don't understand how someone writes a review like that.
And I think we should end every episode with, and I would fuck Salma Hayek. Good night, everybody. Just that's how you want to end something.
But I mean, that is a way to end. You ever end a movie review like that, Kevin?
Only twice.
So that's it. That's Grown Ups 2, and thus putting an end to our third annual summer blockbuster extravaganza. Now we got some. Got some news here that people might not like, but you know, we gotta do what we gotta do.
Well, Andrew, would you fuck Salma Hayek or no? What's the news?
Yes, but we're getting a divorce.
No one on We Hate Movies is getting a divorce. We're not getting a divorce from each other, but we
separation.
Are, we're spending some time apart. We're going to take the month of August off. And we will be back in September, but never fear, because we're going to use the month of August to record 3 new commentary tracks that will be available at some point. We're going to release some live episodes and some mini-sode stuff on the app that we still haven't put out yet. So there will be some stuff in August, but you know, we've been putting out an episode every week since 2011 somewhere. So
2010, I think.
Was it? I mean, so you know. A little well-earned vacation for the We Hate Movies gang. So stay tuned on all of our social media to figure out when we're gonna start the show back up. We will, of course, still be active on Facebook and Twitter, so don't worry about that. But thanks for listening, and it's been a nice run up till this point. We're gonna obviously keep having a great run after this, and it was a great summer blockbuster extravaganza. I would like to think our best yet. We'll see what hashtag SBE4 has to say. But that's a long way off. But we'll be back in September. Until then, if you want to get a hold of us, check out the website. It's a good chance to catch up on back catalog episodes, whmpodcast.com. Keep in touch on the Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. If you subscribe in iTunes, it's a great way to get these old episodes. Rate and review there if you could. Or if you listen to us on Stitcher, you've downloaded the Stitcher Radio app. You can stream the most recent 5 episodes of the show on the go. Our We Hate Movies official app is available on Amazon. If you have an iOS iPhone, you can get it through the Podcast Box app. Or if you have a Windows 8 phone, it's in the Windows 8 store. Here's a question. Eric, you doing an August Blame It on Outer Space?
Yes, there will be an August Blame It on Outer Space.
And what's the topic? Do you know yet? A little tease?
The Black Eyed Kids.
Ooh, that's like the Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, but in child form.
Do they have humps?
It's terrifying. Oh, yeah. Mini Fergies and mini Will.i.ams and mini that other guy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shoulder pads and mohawks. And
nice.
Some rockabilly
rap. Green neon lights and God knows what.
They're all dressed like they star in Chris Klein's Rollerball. Blame it on outerspace.com, at BlameSpacePod on Twitter. They also have a Facebook page. The first Wednesday of August. Black Eyed Kids are going to be hanging around, getting a little creepy. Speaking of August, August 1st, the Private Cabin Indiegogo campaign kicks into gear for our film We Are Strangers. If you don't know what that is and want to check it out, visit wearestrangersmovie.com for trailer and film bios and all that good stuff. August 1st, we'll post the link for the Indiegogo information, and that'll go till the end of September. So that's it. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We will see you when everybody goes back to school. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Steven Sadak.
Take it easy.